Brainwashed: Tricks Companies Use to Manipulate Our Minds and Persuade Us to Buy. Author: Martin Lindstorm. Enough. In the UK, there's an anti-consumerist movement called Enough. Its adherents believe that we as a society quite simply consume too much stuff, and that our over-consuming culture is partly responsible for many of the social ills that plague our planet, from world poverty to environmental destruction to social alienation. In 1957, a journalist called Vance Packard wrote The Hidden Persuaders, a book that pulled back the curtain on all the psychological tricks and tactics companies and their marketeers and advertisers were using to manipulate people's minds and persuade them to buy. It was shocking. It was groundbreaking. It was controversial. And it's nothing compared to what's going on in the marketing and advertising worlds today. Why fear sells? Fear is a powerful persuader, and you'd better believe that marketers and advertisers know it and aren't afraid to exploit it to the fullest. A 1994 TV advertisement for an Aquafresh toothbrush featured a woman. In one hand, holding up a toothbrush. In the other, a ripe tomato. "With this tomato, I'm going to make an important point about your toothbrush," she says, pressing the bristles into the poor tomato, creating a gash that resembles a bleeding gum. Only Aquafresh Flex Brush has a unique pressure-sensitive neck that bends and flexes if you press too hard, the woman continues, so you can prevent damaging your gums while still giving your teeth a thorough cleaning. On the face of it, Aquafresh was just using a simple prop to show how great its product was, but in fact, something a little bit more subtle and sneaky was going on. After all, a prop resembling a bleeding gum calls to mind only one thing, a trip to the dentist. What else could be more universally terrifying? I can't quit you. Shopping addictions tend to follow the same general patterns as any other addiction. First comes anticipation of shopping, or buying something, followed by the shopping or buying experience itself, often described as pleasurable, ecstatic even, and as providing relief from negative feelings. But the relief is fleeting, and ultimately the high wears off, and shoppers crash. Then, like an alcoholic after a binge, he or she is overcome with guilt and remorse before the cycle starts all over again. Companies and advertisers have a hand in creating addictions to their products. They have a lot of clever tricks and tools for nudging us in that direction and spurring addictions along. Sometimes they use subconscious emotional or psychological cues, like when cigarette companies imbue their ads and packaging with subtle imagery meant to induce craving. Other times they actually make their products physically addictive. The power of craving. While cravings may seem to come out of nowhere, in reality, they are often triggered by some physical and emotional cues in our surrounding, whether we realize it or not. The truth is, no matter how much we believe we're in control, when it comes to craving, we're often powerless in the face of these triggers. Companies know this, which is why they deliberately imbue their packaging and advertising with unconscious signals, cues that lie just beneath our conscious awareness. Right at those very moments when cravings are liable to strike. Nostalgia marketing. We tend to live in the past, and our brains like it that way. This is part of the reason why no one believes that on the inside, they're truly their chronological age. It's almost as if we're two people, the one inside us, and the older one others see. Naturally, no one likes the thought of getting old, but this phenomenon is rooted in something more than just a fear of aging. It has to do with our rosy remembering of what our life was like when we actually were that inner age. Companies and marketers know full well that our perceived age has a huge factor in our shopping decisions and buying habits. One of the classic ways companies create the nostalgia factor is by dusting off and releasing commercials, slogans, or ad campaigns from the past. By doing this, companies are not only triggering our nostalgia for that time, they're creating an association in our brains between our rosy memories of the era and their product. The illusion of health. It should come as no surprise that selling health, or the illusion of health, is hugely profitable. This illusion of healthy is perpetuated by the fact that many of us don't know what many of the marketing buzzwords really mean. And of course, marketers work hard to keep it that way. A national survey conducted by the Shelton Group found that, when asked whether we'd buy a product billed as natural or organic, we choose natural. Thinking organic is more of an unregulated marketing buzzword that means the product is more expensive, says Susan Shelton, who conducted the survey. But she explains, in reality, the opposite is true. Natural is the unregulated word. Save the data. Based on marketers' data, consumers who try a new product are likely to stick with it for an average of a year and a half. So if a store can figure out what new product you might like and offer a free sample or coupon or promotion persuading you to try it, it's potentially locked up your dollars for the next 18 months. Thanks to data mining companies, or as I like to call them, Big Brother, every time we do a Google search, write on a friend's Facebook wall, swipe our credit card, download an iTunes song, look up directions on our cell phone, or shop at the local grocery store, an unseen data collector is shadowing us, recording every last bit of information, crunching and analyzing it, and then turning around and reselling it to retailers and marketing firms. Word of mouth. There's nothing quite so persuasive as observing someone we respect or admire using a brand or product. A very surprising event takes place in our brains the moment other people recommend a car, a book, a band, a makeup, or a wine. The rational executive regions of our brains close down, while a fireball of activity occurs in the insula, a brain region that is responsible for social emotions such as lust, disgust, pride, humiliation, guilt, empathy, and even love. In addition, the brain scans showed our friends' recommendations stimulate the sensory regions of our brains, causing a sensation not dissimilar to the biological cravings. In other words, it's as though word-of-mouth endorsements are recorded on multiple brain tracks, and that the more tracks of the brain a brand or a product affects, the more engaged and attuned we are with it, and the more likely the recommendation is to stick. Not so helpless after all. Yes, tactics and tricks have been devised to make us addictive of, attached to, allured by, and dependent on brands. And yes, we have somehow turned into a mouthpiece for the products we have grown loyal to. And yes, we are so much in the open and vulnerable with the state-of-the-art consumer habit tracking tools. So much so to an extent that as consumers, we may think that brands own us, but in reality it's the other way around. Think positive. In our hyper-connected world of Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and WikiLeaks, a world in which a single trick or deception or secret can be immediately broadcast to the world with the click of a mouse, the consumer is more empowered than ever. As a result, brands of the future simply must be transparent and live up to their promises. Any brand that doesn't will be instantly and painfully exposed and reviled.